Welcome to the Man in the Mirror Bible Study Podcast. Today we are continuing our series looking at the spiritual disciplines. Next up, a man in counsel. Our speaker is Brett Klemmer, president of Man in the Mirror.
Well, good morning, guys. It is great to be with you this morning. We've been in this series called on the spiritual disciplines, A Man's Guide to Spiritual Disciplines. Why are we doing that? Well, our mission at Man in the Mirror is to help men reflect honestly, to pursue God wholeheartedly, and to live vibrantly. And the spiritual disciplines help you with all three of those. And if we as a Bible study are going to reach the men of Orlando, especially reaching the next generation of men in Orlando, we need to show that vibrancy that comes from living a life of following Christ. And the disciplines, we don't like the word discipline, right? Discipline doesn't sound great. But if you think of it as habits or just getting yourself on the narrow road, the discipline that the way an athlete who wants to perform at the top of his game has to exercise discipline, the discipline that an instrumentalist in an orchestra has to practice to become a virtuoso in their with their instrument, the discipline that a business owner has to have to operate his business effectively, you would not say, oh, we don't need discipline in any of those areas. So in our Christian life, we need discipline as well, focus and good habits. And so that's what the purpose of this series is. And I know last week we had a guest speaker. We had Tim Amayo come, and who's I'm pleased to sit under him every week in church. He's my pastor. And I heard great feedback last week from Tim's message. So if you're listening on the podcast, go back and make sure you listen to Tim's message from last week. Sort of a good midway point for this series to remind us why we're doing what we're doing. And so this week we're talking about a man's guide to spiritual disciplines. We're talking about a man and counsel. And so that's why we had you say, what's the worst piece of advice that you've ever got? Does anybody have any great worst advice you've ever gotten? Anybody want to share one of the worst pieces of advice that you got or that you heard? Everybody's pointing over here. So what's the bad piece of advice that you got? Try this. Yeah, that's good. Yeah. I don't even want to know what the this is. Anybody else? Anybody else get some bad advice? Do whatever makes you happy. Oh, that's great. That's just terrible advice. Right. So, so as we're talking about counsel, we're talking about the advice that we get. As men, we're all living our lives, we're walking through our lives, and we've got men around us and women around us who have different levels of experience, different levels of expertise, and who we might go to and ask for advice, that we might go to and ask for counsel. And there's sort of two mistakes that you can make with counsel, right? You can ask the wrong person for counsel, or you can ask no one for counsel. And if you ask no one for counsel, you're going to just always be relying on your own best thinking. And if you're relying on your own best thinking, you're limited by your own experiences, your own knowledge, right? Your own interpretation of reality. How many of you have ever misinterpreted reality? Like I've looked at a situation, thought I knew exactly what was going on, and I was completely wrong. Like I misread the situation, I misread somebody's intentions, I misread the consequences of the decision that I was about to make because I didn't look around and get good counsel. And then we've all probably the whole bad advice thing, we've probably all gotten counsel, and you realize in retrospect, like, you know, maybe that guy who's in the middle of a bankruptcy wasn't the right person to ask for financial advice from. You know, maybe that wasn't the best person. Maybe that guy that just told me that he, loves penny stocks and day trading, maybe that's not the right guy to go to ask about my retirement investments. You know, just not, you gotta pick your sources carefully. And so that's what this is about today. So the first thing we're going to talk about is there's two kinds of decisions. Now, as a reminder, we're walking through A Man's Guide to Spiritual Disciplines. We're walking through this book from Pat. So if you haven't read the book, we have books up here. You can get them online at Amazon or christianbook.com. I really encourage you to go get one of these books and catch up to us and then follow along with us as we're teaching through it. And so in the chapter, Pat talks about two kinds of decisions that we might have to make. And I've made a little chart here to show you what they are. There are moral decisions and there are priority decisions. There's moral decisions. So what's a moral decision about? It's about right and wrong. It's not about like right and righter. It's about right and wrong. There's the right thing to do and there's the sinful thing to do. And so these are moral choices that we make. And so when we're making a moral choice, what we're looking at is the idea is that are we going to obey what God's word says, or are we not going to obey what God's word said? Are we going to follow God, or are we going to not follow God? And so this is when you need counsel for a moral decision, it's often because you need someone to help you do the right thing. For most of us, I think, we have a pretty solid, if you're a believer, if you follow Christ, you have the Holy Spirit inside of you. You have a moral compass. You may not listen to it, but you have a moral compass. We've talked about the four voices in every man's head, the world, the flesh, the devil, and the Holy Spirit. So there's three chances for you to get bad counsel, just listening to the voices in your head, but that fourth voice is the one that can give you good counsel. So you're looking for moral counsel. It's helping you not do the wrong thing. Sometimes it's helping you do the right thing, but sometimes it's also just helping you not do the wrong thing, because the wrong thing can seem very enticing, right? But in your heart, you know it's wrong, but it's just so, I mean, that when you're a little kid, that candy bar that's right by the door to the store and you could slip it in your pocket and walk out and nobody would ever know, like that's an enticing thing. And the consequences of that seem to be tiny. And the benefits of that purloined chocolate seems like a great possibility. And you have a friend there that says, don't take that, man. We don't steal stuff. We just don't do that. I had a friend who was like that growing up. And I would say to him, like, dude, you can't do that. Like, that's not good. And he's like, oh man, you're right. And so we did that for each other. So some things are obvious, like the Ten Commandment things are obvious, right? But some things are subtler than that. And I think a lot of places where I see guys having to make moral decisions that don't feel like maybe they're moral decisions so much is in the area of their work, or putting their work ahead of their family. So you have a guy that maybe takes a job where he can make a lot of money, but he's not home ever. Or he's going to move his family across country for this opportunity because he gets a higher pay, but also higher status. But his family is rooted in their church. His kids are rooted in their schools. They have spiritual community where they're at. Their kids are at this formative age, and they go, well, I've got to grab the brass ring. I've got to take this opportunity now. It feels like a priority decision. Like, it feels like a life decision, but it's really a moral decision. It's really am I going to die for my wife? Am I going to put my family before my career? Am I going to put my role as the spiritual leader of my house ahead of my role as the financial provider or even of my own status? Those are moral decisions. And when you're faced with a moral decision like that, you need conviction. You need someone who will give you strength to do the right thing. And that's what good counsel does, is a good counselor comes alongside of you and says, we're believers, we're followers of Christ. We don't make decisions like this. We make decisions like this. We don't follow the principles of the world. We follow the principles of Scripture. We don't follow our own desire and delight and what we think is good. We follow what God tells us is good, because God's truth always proves out. And sometimes you need a counselor to give you the strength to remind you of that. The other kind of decision you make is a priority decision. It's not right and wrong. It's just maybe it's good and better, or better and best. It's not that there's a wrong decision, but there's a wise decision to make. And so when you have a priority decision, that's what you're looking for. You're looking for an expert in the area that you have a decision to make, or you're looking for guidance. You know, when we were buying our last house, we had two houses to pick from that both met our budget. but they each had advantages and they each had disadvantages. And so I had a couple of guys that I knew and I said, hey, I just need to run this by you. Can you tell me what you think? And I really liked this other house. It was bigger. It had a pool. It had an extra bathroom or maybe even two. I had all this space that I thought, we'd have people stay with us, you know? And then, but every single guy that I knew that I talked to was like, don't move into that house. You know, the property taxes are going to skyrocket on you. Guess what happened? Your heating and air conditioning bills are going to be way higher. The pool, the entire backyard is a pool. There's no yard. What do you want a pool that you can't even put a chair next to for? And it's farther away from everything that you are participating in. And I'm like, but yeah, it's a bigger house. And you know, if I'm honest, like I like what people will think of me when they look at that house. Right? So but it's a priority decision. So we bought the other house and we're thrilled. We still wish we had another bathroom, right? It wasn't perfect, but I had good counsel to help us do that. Scripturally, if you think about this, the examples that I could give you for making a moral decision or having a counselor in the midst of a moral decision, the best example I can give you is Nathan and David. So if you remember, we're not gonna read through the whole story, but if you remember 2 Samuel 11, there's this time where when in the springtime, when kings were at war, David stayed back at the palace. And he sent his guys out and they went to war without him. And, you know, he delegated, right? That was, I'm sure he was thinking, oh, I'm going to delegate this. I've been in a lot of battles. It's their turn now. And he ends up on the rooftop. He ends up bored, walking around on the rooftop at dusk. And he sees this beautiful woman taking a bath on the roof. And he ends up stealing Uriah's wife, Bathsheba. And hardened by his own, he's so cold-blooded, really, that he basically manufactures Uriah's murder, and then after Bathsheba mourns that death, she marries him. So he stole another guy's wife. He killed a guy and stole his wife, right? And so Nathan comes in as a counselor. Now, Nathan already had a relationship with him, but Nathan comes in as a counselor, and Nathan tells him a story. And he tells him a story about a poor man who had a lamb that was like a pet in the family. But he lived on the estate of a rich man. And when the rich man had a guest come, instead of the rich man taking one of his own sheep, one of his own lambs, and preparing it for the guest, he takes the poor man's lamb, who is like a pet, and he slaughters that lamb and he feeds it to his guest. And David is enraged. He says, how could this guy deserves to die? I'm going to make sure he repays that man fourfold for what he's done to him. And Nathan looks at him, and what does he say? You are the man. That's a counselor. A counselor is the guy that looks you in the eye and says, you know what? You're the guy. He figures out the way to help you understand what the principle is, and then he looks you in the eye and he says, this is you. This isn't somebody else. This is some abstract thing. This is you. That's a great moral counselor. And if you think about a priority decision counselor, that would be like Jethro. If you remember in Exodus 18, Jethro comes to the camp where Moses is, and he sees Moses is working basically from sun up to sundown. And everybody that has any kind of a complaint or a problem or question, they all come to Moses. And Jethro says, dude, you're gonna burn out. You can't do this. You gotta delegate to people. Your priority is to lead the people, not to settle these petty disputes. And so because of Jethro's advice to Moses, and Moses takes the counsel, then he organizes the nation of Israel and takes a huge load off of his plate. That's a great example of a priority kind of counselor. And so, I'm sorry, here's the verses on this. So 2 Samuel 12, 1 to 15, if you're taking notes. And you can see Nathan said to David, you are the man. And then in Exodus 18, at the 13 to 24, and it says this, so Moses listened to the voice of his father-in-law and did all that he had said. So those are two kinds of decisions that you need counselors for, a moral decision and a priority decision. So let's talk for a minute about avoiding counsel. So what happens when you avoid counsel? Well, I'm just going to give you some quick verses on this. Proverbs 12:15, the way of fools seems right to them, but the wise listen to advice. Yeah, there was an oof up here. Yeah, that's an oof verse. The way of fools seems right to them. Have you ever been just so confident in something that you just, even if somebody says something that contradicts what you think, you brush it off. You're like, no, this is the right thing to do. And that's what a fool does. Proverbs 15:12 says, mockers resent correction, so they avoid the wise. Think about your own heart, your own life. What happens when somebody gives you correction? Do you take it well, or do you get defensive? I mean, you're allowed to get defensive, but you got to get over it. You got to get past that and recognize that you need correction. That correction is the way to wisdom. We talk about this in my church all the time. And when I got to my church, I remember thinking, man, they talk about correction a lot. Like, I wish they would just say input. Oh, I got some input on that. Oh, I got some feedback on that. And then I realized in some conversations, correction's the right word, because we think of correction as like as a negative. But man, if you're off course, you need a course correction. If you don't get a course correction, you're going to end up where you don't want to be. And only fools, only mockers are so concerned about only doing what they think is the right thing, that they're unwilling to take a course correction, and they end up where they don't want to be. And then Proverbs 28:26 says, those who trust in themselves are fools, but those who walk in wisdom are kept safe. So not just course correction, not just ending up where you want to be, but actually it's safer. It's better for you, Proverbs says. Now there's a whole bunch of verses in Proverbs and Psalms and about counsel, and in your discussion time at your tables, we're going to give you time to go through those verses and maybe sort of create a framework for how do you seek counsel? What's the good part of seeking counsel? And so we'll do that in the discussion time. But looking at these verses, the way a fool seems right to them, mockers resent correction, those who trust in themselves are fools. That brings us to our big idea. And that's this: the key to bad decision making is to always rely on your own best thinking. The key to bad decision-making is to always rely on your own best thinking. If you find yourself constantly doing what you think is the best thing without asking for outside input, feedback, or correction, you are just following your own best thinking, and you will make bad decisions. I think for us guys, where we see this most is in our blind spots, right? We always, I think, you know, we talk about reflecting honestly. And I think a lot of guys, you know, we have blind spots. I have blind spots. You have blind spots. And so sometimes good counsel is a mirror to help you reflect honestly. You can say to somebody, hey, this is what I'm doing. This is the decision that I'm making. This is my reasoning on this. What do you think? And then they can reflect back to you, well, you know, Here's how that feels. This doesn't look right to me. I think you're missing this thing, or I think you're not really taking this into account, or man, I think you're just being sinful and prideful. That's good counsel, does that with your blind spot. Sometimes good counsel is like a guidebook. It's just showing you the path. It's keeping you on the right path. Sometimes good counsel is like a surgeon cutting out the cancer or correcting the damage, repairing the damage that's happened in your heart. And sometimes good counsel is like a coach spurring you on to do the right thing, to pursue victory, to help you love God and love others. So good counsel can be a mirror, it can be a guidebook, it can be a surgeon, and it can be a coach to your heart. Those are the things that good counsel can be. But if you want to make bad decisions, don't seek counsel. If you want to make bad decisions, don't look for input. Don't look for correction. Don't look for coaching. Just do what you think is the best thing every single time. And let me know how that works for you. All right. So then our third point is, how do you find good counsel? So let me give you some really concrete questions. These are from the book, 8 concrete questions that you can ask when you're trying to seek wise counsel. And these are particularly helpful, I think, when you're in a specific situation, you're trying to make a specific decision, and you want some good counsel on it, all right? So number one, am I trying to make a moral decision or priority decision? If you're trying to make a moral decision, look for somebody with moral authority and moral knowledge, right? You don't ask a 3-year-old a moral question or a person who has the maturity of a 3-year-old. Don't ask them for moral guidance. If it's a priority question, though, look for somebody who has an expertise in the field that your question is in, that your decision is in. Number two, am I looking for advice or permission? You know, and this goes back to reflecting honestly. Have I basically already made my decision and I'm just looking for somebody to affirm it? Because, you know, here's what I've learned. If I really want to do something and I ask enough people, eventually somebody will tell me that what I decided to do already is the right thing. Like, you just keep looking and looking. And then when something bad happens and people are like, why did you do that? And you're like, oh, well, I mean, I talked to Joe and Joe said it was a good idea. Well, yeah, but the 12 people before Joe all told you it was a dumb idea, right? But you just went until you found the guy that told you what you wanted to hear, and you went with that, all right? Great story in 2 Chronicles 10 with Rehoboam, who basically discounts the good counselors so that he can listen to his friends who will tell him what he wants to hear. Question number 3, who can help me decide if this is an opportunity or a distraction? Just remember this, not every good idea is God's will. Not every good idea is God's will. Number 4, do I need counsel that is the voice of reason or the voice of passion? In other words, do I need clear and precise thinking to analyze a decision, or do I need someone to kick me in the butt and get me going and help me to take advantage of a situation or to move in a direction that I know I need to move in? Number 5, who will really listen and understand my issue before offering advice? Good counselors ask lots of questions. They don't jump to advice. They really want to make sure that they understand the situation before they start giving you any counsel whatsoever. Beware of quick answers from counselors. Number 6, who can I trust is for me and doesn't have their own agenda? Everybody has an agenda, right? Make sure your counsel comes from someone with no skin in the game. If you and a friend are trying to decide if you want to go in on an investment property together, don't ask your friend for advice. They might need your money to make the deal work. Go to somebody who's not involved in the deal, somebody who's done it before. That's the right person to ask for counsel. Try to find somebody with no skin in the game. Number 7, am I sending the right signals that I'm open to advice? If you keep chasing away advisors or discounting good advice, people will stop helping you. We've all probably had friends like this. You're like, you see them headed towards a cliff, and you're like, I've told him so many times not to do things, and he never listens to me. So be it. And if you're a good friend, at least you'll wait at the bottom of the cliff to pick him up and dust him off, right? But you're so tired of trying to divert him from his own demise that finally you just give up. And we've all been in situations like that on both sides, on both sides. And then number 8, do I have peace? How do you find peace? One is, you know, many advisors with basically the same counsel. That's a great way to find peace. Or you've sort of collected all your information. You think you have a good decision, and then you take that thinking to a wise counselor that you know. And you say, hey, this is my thinking. This is how I got. He asks a lot of questions. And then he says, yeah, that's good. I think you're on the right track here. That's wise counsel. That's confirming your counsel with a wiser man. And then finally, just, are you praying? Are you praying? And this sort of brings me to a little final note here. Who's the ultimate counselor? The Holy Spirit is the ultimate counselor. And we don't have enough time to talk through this, but let me just remind you of what Jesus said about the Holy Spirit. In John 16:13, he says, when the Spirit of truth comes, He will guide you to all truth. And is it ultimately that what we're looking for? And when we look for counsel, we're looking for truth. And God never lies. The Holy Spirit will never lie to you. And if you are a believer, if you are a follower of Jesus Christ, the Bible says that the Holy Spirit lives inside of you, and you have access to the Holy Spirit as a believer in Christ. You have to spend time. You have to spend time in prayer. You have to spend time letting Him illuminate His word for you so that you can find the right way. So the discipline of counsel is an excellent discipline to have, but the counsel of the Holy Spirit should never be discounted. And so, once again, our big idea, the key to bad decision-making is to always rely on your own best thinking. Look for wise counselors. Listen to the counsel of the Holy Spirit. Let me pray for us. Well, Father, we want to be wise men. We want to do. We want to make wise decisions. We want to have wise actions, Lord. We want to do the right thing, Lord, because it brings you glory and it brings about our own good. And Lord, as we go forward in our lives, would you surround us with good counsel? Lord, would you soften our hearts, soften our pride so that we would look for good counsel, we would accept good counsel when it comes to us? Lord, would you guide our prayers? Would you guide our hearts to rely on you and not our own best thinking, not our own reason, Lord? Though we are not unreasonable men, the logic and ability to think through things are abilities that you have given us, Lord, we do recognize their corruption because of the fall. And so, Lord, we just pray that you would show us the way that we should go in every decision, large and small, Lord, so that we can live lives that build the kingdom and bring you glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for joining us today. You can find the Man in the Mirror Bible Study wherever you listen to podcasts, as well as on our YouTube page. If you have found this helpful, please subscribe, give us a 5-star rating, and share the podcast with friends. Since 1986, Man in the Mirror has been teaching the Bible, helping us reflect deeply as men and apply God's truth to our lives. This Bible study is recorded in front of a live audience every Friday morning outside of Orlando, Florida. If you need help navigating your life or leading other men, please go to maninthemirror.org and check out our vast library of Bible study videos, blogs, and articles on Christian growth and leadership. There are plenty of resources you can use to grow in your faith and help others grow too. At maninthemirror.org, you will find books written just for men, helpful materials for your church's ministry to men, and even a potential career in men's discipleship. If you're a man personally struggling in life, or you need help in discipling men, please send us an email at biblestudy@maninthemirror.org and let us know how we can help.